I'm joined on Radio Jackie today by Sir Ed Davey, who is the leader of the Liberal Democrats and the MP for Kingston and Surbiton. In 2013, when you were Energy Secretary, you were told by one Conservative minister, John Hayes, that Britain didn't need any new wind farms. How do you feel following the news last week that offshore wind farm regulations are being relaxed to allow more to be built more easily? This was 10 years after you campaigned for it in the coalition government.
Well, under the Liberal Democrats, and when I was Secretary of State for Energy and Climate Change, Britain became the world leader in offshore wind. Conservatives tried to stop us, but we had the power and we pushed it through, and we had a massive expansion in renewables thanks to the Liberal Democrats. I've been very alarmed for some time that the Conservatives have been mismanaging this and that we haven't rapidly expanded renewables, because it brings energy bills down. It helps us be more secure as a country. We don't have to import so much fossil fuels from, you know, dodgy regimes. And of course, it helps with climate change. And this latest failure by the Conservatives to get any offshore wind farms away in this latest auction is a disgrace. And people who are suffering with their energy bills should be really angry with the government and the Conservatives for failing.
And why do you think the government is so reluctant to use wind farms?
I don't know. I think partly it's incompetence, as well as their divisions over whether or not to tackle climate change properly. The Conservatives are in a sort of argument amongst themselves about whether to take action on net zero, on cleaning up climate. And this latest auction, I don't know whether it was those divisions amongst the Conservatives or just incompetence, but they were warned this would happen. People told them this would happen. It was obvious it was going to happen. And I'm just alarmed that we have a Conservative government that's just incompetent.
Moving on to Heathrow Airport, parts of Kingston announcing an uptick in flights over their homes as Heathrow has appeared to change its flight paths. What's the update with Heathrow, and is this something people in Kingston are now just going to need to live with as they do in areas like Richmond and Kew?
We're not going to accept this from Heathrow. I've campaigned with Liberal Democrat colleagues in Richmond and Twickenham against things like the third runway at Heathrow. I think we're winning that campaign. But there's a new threat. It's called the Heathrow Airspace Modernisation Proposal. And it would impact people in North Kingston in particular, but also in my constituency. It would impact, for example, the tranquility and special status of Richmond Park. So we are onto this. I'm working with Sarah Olney, the Liberal Democrat MP for Richmond Park and North Kingston, and Munira Wilson, the Liberal Democrat MP for Twickenham. And we'll be working hard to push back against these proposals from Heathrow.
And what exactly can be done to stop these, you know, new flight paths? Is there anything in particular?
Well, at the moment, they're keeping their proposals very quiet. I've heard about them from the Friends of Richmond Park. I'm very grateful to the Friends of Richmond Park for giving me a detailed briefing. And they won't go to any public consultation for another 18 months. So there's a stage now where they're trying to sort of stitch things up behind the scenes. And I see it as my job as a local MP, working with colleagues, to hold these people to account on behalf of local people before they serve up a fait accompli. So there's going to be a real battle now, and we'll be battling for people in Kingston and Richmond to make sure that these changes that are being proposed don't go ahead.
Now, I know you've recently paid a visit to Kingston Hospital. What was the reason for your visit there?
Oh, I go to Kingston Hospital a lot, mainly in my role as MP, occasionally as a patient or visiting somebody. It's a brilliant hospital. We are so lucky to have such a fantastic hospital, whether it's the staff there who are first rate or the quality. And I was going there just to get updated on the issues, but also to hear about a project to deal with one of the problems that is struggling, that they are struggling with, and that's the intensive care unit at Kingston, where they don't have enough space, there's not enough single rooms, the lines of sight for the staff to check on the patients who are quite ill aren't as good as they should be. And the great news is we've won some money Kingston Hospital has won some money to rebuild the intensive care unit, and I was listening to the exciting proposals to make this part of Kingston Hospital, which isn't good enough, to make it first class.
Well, leading on from that, are you concerned that we have had listeners who are being recommended to use other hospitals for major operations like heart operations, with the reason being Kingston is overwhelmed?
I'd be surprised if that is based on the real evidence. Kingston Hospital is a brilliant hospital and some fantastic healthcare. And what was clear in talking to the consultants in the current intensive care unit, they still do a brilliant job, but they know they need more space, and these proposals will lead to a much bigger unit, but it will also be a much higher quality unit. So I don't think people should be worried about the care they get at Kingston Hospital, but I'm very excited about these extra improvements that look like they're going to happen.
And how long do you think that's going to take? Because currently we've had listeners tell us that they've been urged to have operations elsewhere, such as at Guy's and St Thomas's. Is this not concerning? As you know, you're saying the care is good currently, but some people can't even get care there and they're being told to go elsewhere.
Well, if those listeners want to write to me, I'm very happy to look into their particular cases. But having looked at the stats, looked at the gone round the hospital, I do think we should be very proud of Kingston Hospital as a great local hospital. But there's always room for improvement. And it's already clear the hospital will say themselves that they want to improve intensive care unit. It was shown during the pandemic that it needed to be increased in size. And if the current proposals go ahead, and we've got the agreement in principle and the funding in principle, we could see a new ICU being built at Kingston Hospital as early as the first half of 2024. And you know, it'll take a little while to build, but the plans would making it a world-leading intensive care unit, something we can be really proud of locally.
Excellent. Now, moving on to cycle lanes in Kingston. Are you aware of the growing campaign to get the cycle lane in Kingston Road in New Malden redesigned? Cars are going to be allowed to park over it. The road is now so narrow that pollution builds up while buses are stopped instead of going round them as they did before. And the drains in the cycle lanes are in the way of cyclists forcing them into the road. What do you think about this?
I think there is a room for improvement on this cycle route. Both for cyclists and for motorists and pedestrians. This was a project funded by the Mayor of London, Mayor Khan, and the Transport for London. And it was driven through, I think, not as well as it might have been. So, you know, I've listened to local people who worried about how we can improve safety in particular. The Liberal Democrats on the council have actually undertaken a full review of this and worked really hard talking to local groups, whether it's Kingston Cycling Campaign, which is fantastic, and others, to see what changes can be made. And that they're planning further engagement, because we want to make sure this cycle was built by Transport for London is safe. And whether it's new signage or whether it's changes to it, you know, I think everything can be looked at.
Excellent. Now, Kingston Council is yet to publish a list of buildings which it has looked into that possibly contains rack concrete. Now, this is a big issue at the moment. Have you been told where these buildings are, and why is it taking so long for the council to publish its findings when other councils have already named their buildings affected?
Well, first we heard about this disaster for schools in different parts of the country and the hospitals and other public buildings. I was right straight on to Kingston Council, and they reassured me that actually they'd begun surveying buildings that were built in the borough during this period and might have involved this material. All the soundings I'm getting back from them is that there's very little sign that rack is a problem in Kingston, but they're undergoing some detailed surveying, They were ahead of other boroughs, actually, because they'd done some other work previously, which has given them great reassurance. So, you know, it may be that there'll be some small add-on at some building that turns out needs to be addressed. But so far, from what I've been told, and I have asked quite a few times, I don't think there's any evidence there's much to worry about.
And obviously, we've got to talk about ULEZ. So the expansion rolled out last month. What's the latest on that? Have you had much positive or negative reaction on the ULEZ expansion?
Well, people are still worried, those who are particularly badly hit. And I've been particularly worried about people in Hook and Chessington. As you know, I, the local MP and leader of the Liberal Democrats, argue that there should be a delay at the very least on this, because I think the scheme is quite badly designed, even in terms of tackling air pollution, which is they claim is its purpose, and also bringing in a time of a cost of living when people are really under the cosh with higher food bills, energy bills, rent, mortgage. It was just the wrong time. The mayor didn't listen. So having seen the impact on Hook and Chessington, I've asked the mayor, written to him formally, to exclude Hook and Chessington from ULEZ entirely. If you look at a map, Hook and Chessington are unusual. They stick out like a little finger into Surrey. That means that they are surrounded east, west and south by places that are outside the ULEZ scheme. And that creates really extra problems. So I've asked for a meeting with the mayor. I've chased it because I've had no reply so far. And while I wish there'd been a delay, I'm determined that we try to get a better deal, particularly in the south of the borough.
And final question, Kingston Carnival was a few weekends ago now, I think, wasn't it? Did you head down there yourself? What was the turnout like? Was there anything to report on about Kingston Carnival?
Oh, Kingston Carnival is one of my favourite events in the sort of annual list of events in the borough. It's so well organised, but particularly by people from Kingston Racial Equality Council, the council itself, Global Arts and others. There was a huge turnout and we were lucky because it was a beautiful day. It was very, very hot, actually. But so many people turned out representing all the different communities in Kingston. There was a lot of dancing, a lot of music, lots of great food. It was just a brilliant day. I think we should be really proud of how diverse we are in Kingston and how we can celebrate it so peacefully and so joyfully.
Well, lots of my friends went to it and they had such a great time. Do you think it's going to be something that we'll continue to do for years to come?
Well, Kingston Carnival has been going for 21 years and we were all saying that it needs to go on for many more years. And I think it will do. I think it is popular. It's such a safe, fun day for people. And if the weather's also good to us, you know, it's the place to be. You know, I don't think it'll be Notting Hill Carnival 2, if I'm honest with you. But I don't think we want it to be. I think we want it to be special about our royal borough.